Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery. Graduation is a sweet occasion, but finding the perfect gift can be a bitter struggle. MMS.com has a solution. Personalized M&Ms. Just imagine the look on your grad's face when they receive a custom candy creation featuring their school's colors, name, and even their photo printed right on some M&Ms. It's a thoughtful way to celebrate their accomplishments and make the occasion even more special. Visit MMS.com to create your own personalized gifts and party favors for graduations, weddings, birthdays, and more. That's MMS.com. Use code WONDERY to receive 15% off your next order.
Welcome to Late Night Sessions. I am Jeremiah Silva, talent executive here at Late Night with Seth Meyers, and I'm in charge of our music bookings on our show. Joining me today is James Bay. Hi, James.
Hey, man.
How are you?
I'm very good. It's very nice to be here again.
Great. Welcome back. The first time you were on the show was in December 2014.
Yes.
It was the first year our show was on the air.
Yeah.
It was the one and only time we decorated our set for Christmas.
I thought it looked great, to be honest. It was the first time I'd seen it anywhere.
Well, thank God that they had decorations on the set because you were out there alone.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I was out there alone, and I just want to make the point that it was the first TV show I think I ever played on, like ever. So, I don't know. I needed everything that I could get around me to kind of keep it comfortable and not feel as terrified as I felt. And I was excited, don't get me wrong.
What do you remember about it?
I remember opening my eyes maybe once.
Thank God you had the hat.
Thank God I had the hat. Thank God I had the hair, or more hair. I remember, I've had this with, I suppose, quite a few, if I'm completely honest, a lot of kind of TV or live TV performances since. It took a long time to get rid of a lot of the nerves. Maybe I'm one of the last generation that fully understands and appreciates, I guess, like being on TV, because it's a whole different world out there now with what the internet like provides in terms of where you can go and see artists and all of that. So I remember the nerves.
I think that's great because some people that you still want to come and do shows like this when you could just put stuff out on your own Instagram and you don't need to come.
But the kind of majesty, honestly, of being on late night TV. It means a lot. My generation and every generation sort of before me, it obviously means a lot to us. And that needs to keep being celebrated. But that created more nerves. I can't deny it. So I remember all of that. And I remember managing them. I remember doing everything that I could to kind of keep the nerves down. And everybody gets nervous for this kind of stuff. But it just felt like a big deal. It was an American late night TV show to a British dude. Because we have our own late night stuff and it's fine. But it's a bigger deal over here. And it felt like just an honor, you know, to be able to be on that kind of TV in America. And then the nerves come when you think about the viewership and everything. And you look at or someone mentions the kind of numbers and you're like, oh, wow, I need to try and open my eyes when I do this performance.
I think that's cool because from the outside, you couldn't really tell that you were nervous, I don't think. And especially you were out there alone.
Yeah.
But also that song, Let It Go, that guitar lick, whatever you musicians call it.
Yeah.
Like that is so powerful in that song.
Yeah.
It's kind of like another band member.
Well,
like,
in a way, absolutely. And I think at the same time, I appreciate that. I'm very proud of the song. And it seems to have held its own, you know, live, whether I've played it with the band or without. But the beauty of... So, like I've said, it was my first TV that I'd ever done, first late night I'd ever done. And that means I'd never done anything with a band before. So I didn't know the feeling of being on a set with a band. Mm. So I didn't feel that naked. I did feel a little bit
naked.
It
was all you knew.
But it was all I knew.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
So much happened for you after that. You played a bunch of other shows with bands.
Right.
I'm sure you did a lot of radio stuff, like
lots
on your own too.
Yeah.
And then your album and song, 3 Grammy nominations.
Yeah,
and you performed on the Grammys with Tori Kelly, who is just amazing.
She is outrageously good. Yeah, it's funny. It's impossible. And I'm not just saying this because I'm sat here with you, but it's impossible not to see from my perspective, I guess even from any of my fans' perspective, that it didn't in some way kind of start here.
Well, that's nice for you to say.
In all honesty, I think especially in America for me, you know, you hit more people from all sorts of different standpoints. And I think the first thing I did in America was sign a record deal. That's exciting, but you need these outlets. And yes, there's, and we're talking about 5-6 years ago. So yes, there's like, you know, YouTube and stuff today. And yes, it was something back then. But like a late night show then, like it still is now, was a huge platform for someone like me who was so unknown. And it will always feel like a really important moment in the beginning.
That's nice. It's nice also that you remember that this show was supportive of you from the beginning. Because I must have seen you play at least 5
what
times.
So,
like, I saw you play at the Slipper Room.
I saw you play
at South By in that church.
Yeah.
Like, so many shows. And I knew that you were going to be a big deal.
Did you think we met at the Slipper Room or do you think we met at South By?
I think we met at Slipper Room the first time.
That must have been
the first show I saw.
That might have even been my first, like, New York show that was my show. Because I'd opened up for people before that in, like, Mercury Lounge and places like that. But, like,
I remember that it was in the middle of the summer and it was so brutally hot.
Crazy hot. It was one of my favorite shows, though. I loved, like, the venue. I mean, is it still a place?
I think it still is. It's teeny tiny.
We got to hook that up at some point.
That's funny.
I got to get back in
play.
There. Yeah, I got to do it.
You must have been nervous to perform at the Grammys.
I mean, nervous is an understatement. Terrified is an understatement.
Yeah.
Again,
and you weren't even alone. Like, you had Tori.
No, and Tori is, like, phenomenal. Like, her talent is so natural. She can be nervous and then, like, open her mouth to do her thing and still be incredible. And, like, for the rest of us, we've kind of got to focus so hard. Her abilities are so natural. And I know she was nervous. The nice thing is we had each other. I'll say that much. I suppose in some ways, I wish I'd had somebody. Like we were saying, the first time I came on Late Night with Seth, like,
It takes a lot of guts, though. And I think if people react, like seeing you out there alone, people must be like, oh my God, that guy is out there alone doing this and so great. So
fine.
Tori was on this show and she sang Hallelujah. It was from a movie soundtrack.
Yeah.
That's not an easy song
that
to
is
sing.
Not
and it's also
song.
Like such a heralded song.
Yeah.
To do that and like you have to have some guts.
That's like
and
a traditional, that's a classic.
And she killed it. She was amazing.
The Grammys, though, I think, I remember thinking and feeling, you know, I'm in this room, me and Tori are on this, and we were on a real special little stage. We weren't on the main stage. We were on the stage, the small one that was right in the middle of everybody. I think on the big stage, you feel like there's some distance and you can kind of gather yourself in your own space. But we were in everyone else's space on that little stage in the middle. And I knew that Beyonce was in there and Adele was in there and Dave Grohl was in there. And like all of these absolute legends were in there. And you just do everything in your power to not think about it while all you're doing is thinking about it. And that's the thing about being on a late night show as well that has always made it mean so much to me is I think about, like I said earlier, like the numbers of people that turn on the TV to watch. And I do everything in my power not to think about the number. But like, it's in my head and you have to just
see. It must be old news by now.
No, man. I've got this great artist opening for me on this tour called Noah Khan, and I was talking to him about how I think every day you have to be, I realize more than ever how grateful I have to be and he has to be and we have to be that we're still working in this industry because lots of people are looking in lots of fascinating directions. To keep a lot of people looking in your direction takes more and more work every day. So I can never get too used to it. And I, you know, as long as you keep sort of shooting for sort of something that's just out of reach, you know, that whole kind of saying, then hopefully you'll be doing all right, you know, with that kind of ethos.
That's great.
I think.
I want to talk a little bit about your second album, Electric Light. I know a lot of people felt like it was different.
So different.
But if people really listen to it, there are a lot of elements from the first album.
I'm still in there as well.
Yeah, for sure. Like songs like Us, right. which you did here.
Right.
And then you did with Alicia Keys. Like, right. That must have been...
That was wild. I was 11 or 12 years old when I first discovered Alicia Keys' music and when she kind of came on the scene. And I've been a complete fan ever since. And then to get this call... She's heard the song, and I'd met her once or twice before, just along the way. Because when I was doing a lot of stuff solo, I was covering "If I Ain't Got You," kind of just to show that I'm a huge fan of her music.
I might have a video on my phone of you doing that at Bowery Ballroom.
Right, right, right. And because and it was a fun cover. So I kind of met her along the way because she'd heard that and said, I think I saw her at something. It was like the Met Gala or something, and she said, "Hey man, I saw the cover. It was killer." Like, and I was like, I was on the floor after that, like totally on the floor. But this call from her, she said, "I've heard this new song." She said, "I really love this new song." And I was thinking, if you're into it, I'd love to do like a duet version. And again, I was on the floor. Like, whoa, hang on. This is like one of my heroes.
Not even something you had to go chase.
No.
Like, can we get her on the song?
No,
can we get her on the song?
No, not at all. It was one of the weirdest calls to get. So that was very cool. And the whole experience of the second record was, in so many ways, utterly fantastic and brilliant. And I, while we're sat here, I felt like in this whole world, in our world, I always felt you were a real big supporter of that record. I really appreciate that in a big way. Like, because you and I, we both get like, I took a leap from the first record and that was intentional. And some people came with me and I appreciate it.
I appreciate the leap because I loved Wild Love.
Oh, thank you, man.
But when I heard Pink Lemonade, I was on that ride.
Yeah, man.
I mean, and then off that record, you got to do SNL.
Oh, wow. Again, and like, as far as like, the cool thing about doing this show is that I kind of got in at the beginning with you guys, and it was brand new, and I was brand new, so that's an important thing for me. That's always a lucky thing for any artist because we didn't line it up. Nobody lines anything up. Oh, you know, you sign this record deal, and then that TV show will come along, and you can be new together. It doesn't work like that at all. So it was cool to be, you know, next to each other on the journey. SNL is legendary, absolutely legendary. And I, for some reason, for all sorts of reasons, I've known about it since I was 10 years old. And they don't really show it in the UK ever. They just don't. There's no, I don't know if you can find it. You certainly can when I was a kid. So to get invited on to play on my second record, the music I was so excited about, and right, and way before the record came out, like months before the record came out, I think I had one single out, Wild Love. And I got to do Pink Lemonade as well. And it was just, I'll tell you what was cool as well. Sorry to ramble, but I was at Lollapalooza in Chicago. There's a great artist, Tyler the Creator, who I was walking through backstage of this festival, and I'd never met him before, but I know about him, and I think he's awesome. And he came out of nowhere. Suddenly he was in my face. He said, you were on a late night show not long ago. He said, what was it? He said, you were wearing a pink shirt.
Pajamas.
I said, SNL. He said, SNL, the pink shirt, the rocking guitar, the hair. He said, more of that. Give me more of that. And I was wow, artist to artist, that's one of those moments that I'll never forget.
I mean, that shirt was pretty. That wasn't the pajama shirt.
No.
That was the very open pink blousey shirt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The pajama shirt you wore here when you sang Pink Lemonade.
Yes.
The best one that I remember so clearly, like the memes that came out after that.
Bring it on.
I think both of them, SNL and our show, of you giving dead, like sexy to the camera. Like moving the hair, dead stare right down the camera.
That was the vibe.
Those are so good. I need to go look those
up. I had to go somewhere from the innocence of Chaos and the Calm. And you know, now, and it's all me.
It's so great. All right, let's talk a little bit about the new music.
Yeah.
Your new single is called Peer Pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you go from the first album, second album, to now this new music?
What's the journey in all of it? Obviously the first record, Curse in the Calm, was very, I mean, it was just the first thing I wanted to do, really. It's heavily inspired by, you know, the likes of Bruce Springsteen, the likes of Carole King, the likes of like Adele and Ben Howard, different artists like that, a bit of Kings of Leon as well. Second record's a bit more, I have all these other sort of musical influences. And really across those two records, so the second record's people like David Bowie and Blondie and Lorde and Prince, people like that. And that's a real good sort of cross-section, sort of full spectrum of my musical influences and inspirations. And I don't know what peer pressure is. Feels so naturally who I am. It's hard, that's not really, I'm only making so much of a point there because it's all naturally who I am. This is just.
Do you think it's a combination of the two?
It's a little bit of a combo, and somehow for me that comes from working with Julia Michaels. because she exists in that incredible, like, top shelf pop world. But she's a brilliant, very down to earth person.
I think
very
she's
real.
So incredible.
She's fantastic. She's a very real person. And like when I talked to you about the influences of my first record, that's quite sort of rootsy, sort of down to earth, real stuff. And then I talk about those influences on my second record, and it's a little bit more sort of high energy kind of pop stuff, more kind of sheeny stuff. And she, Julia, as far as creating peer pressure and this new sound that I put out for myself as an artist, from myself, she kind of brought the more pop elements. And really, you know, I put it right up front, quite obviously, it's the acoustic guitar that you hear at the very top of Peer Pressure that brings the more kind of organic side of music, the music that I love, to a new song of mine. I don't know, it was fun.
Was it intentional?
Yes.
To bring the pop?
Yeah, definitely, because I love pop music. Like, yeah. Absolutely, hands down. Like I'm listening to pop music all the time. I have all my life, and I've listened to less pop music as well, and different sort of sounds and genres. So I'm always trying to combine all sorts of different things, but keep it simple and keep it me. And I think Peer Pressure is a really great, I'm very proud of it. And I'm very excited that I got to work with Julia. And we really kind of resonated, the two of us, on all of those different sort of touch points. And it feels like a natural next step. Dynamically, I'll always do stuff that's a little bit more kind of larger than life, as well as stuff that's very sort of hushed and intimate. That's kind of just how I exist as a person as well. So it feels like what was always going to come next, and I'm really, really excited that it's out there now.
Yeah, it's great.
Thanks, man.
What's next for you? You're going on tour this summer.
Yeah, so
we're
going on tour with Ed Sheeran. Ed, you know, another great example of somebody so down to earth, so sort of real and organic, but so tapped into what pop music is in 2019, and I guess what it's going to be in 2020. You know, he's a great one to follow for that kind of thing, and I'm quite literally going to follow him around Europe.
He's really great. Speaking of Ed Sheeran, you toured with Taylor Swift.
I toured with Taylor Swift for a little bit.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan. Those shows, like, the fans are so amped.
Here's the thing.
Did you feel that?
I felt the shows are, like, supersonic, incredible shows. But the relationship she has with her fans reflects her, like, taste in music. Her fans are as hungry to explore new music and find new music as she is, I guess. She's always been kind of had her finger on the pulse, it seems, of like of what's new and who's coming next and all that stuff. And she's always taken, I'm proud to say I was one of the people that she took on tour who, you look at the list of sort of acts that, I mean, America didn't really know Ed Sheeran that well, and then she took him on tour and they started to get to know him a bit more, and so he was a new artist to them.
I was telling that story today. I remember going to see Taylor Swift on her Red Tour,
right,
and Ed was opening, wow, and nobody knew who he was,
right,
but I went and you see this guy on stage by himself with his looping whatever,
yeah, yeah,
and you're like, but he's amazing, and you could see even right, then that he right, was amazing, but who knew from that right, that he would be what he is now?
It's wild, and I was out on tour with Taylor Swift and 18,000 people a night in arenas around Europe, and they were singing the words to my songs because they'd done the research. She talked a little bit online about the fact I'm going to have James Bay opening up for me at these shows, and her fans care about that, so they go do the research and they were singing my songs.
That's amazing.
Which is what an influence that, you know, that she's having on people. It's amazing.
Very cool.
Very cool.
I also want to ask you about this guitar. Okay, so this guitar that you're playing to perform Peer Pressure, I heard it's from a big movie.
Right. Here's the story. I don't know, like maybe a year ago, I was in LA. I didn't have a guitar with me and I needed one for some of the stuff I was doing. And Gibson guitars are great. We have a great relationship. I reached out to them. They said, we got this guitar. They sent it over. They didn't say any more about it. I opened it up and it was a really cool, unique looking guitar. It was a sort of beautiful, like maroon color, Gibson acoustic, beautiful guitar. And I played it for a few days and I fell in love with this guitar. And I asked them about it. I said, what's the deal? I've never seen one of these. It's called the J45, but I'd never seen it looking like that before. I said, it plays great too. I said, why does it look so unique? They said, well, Bradley Cooper was using it for a movie he was shooting recently, but we don't know anything about the movie really. It wasn't out yet.
Mm.
I said, interesting. I said, if it's not being used anymore, I said, I really like it. Can I buy it off you? Gibson said, let us check, because they didn't make many and we're not sure if like the movie house or whatever want them. And it turns out they made two. They made one, I guess, that he was using in a backup. He held on to one of them and
the
and they sold me this other one. And then like a good like 6 months later, the Star Is Born movie came out, and it's the guitar that he's plays throughout the movie. It's like his acoustic guitar.
That's incredible.
But they didn't. Nobody knew the movie was going to do anything or anything right. like that. Obviously, clearly, it was going to be massive. But they didn't really know much about it. So I've wound up with this guitar. It's mine. It's very exciting. It's a great guitar. It sounds brilliant. And me and B Coops, we're guitar twins.
That's so cool because you had no idea.
No idea.
That he is amazing in that
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And like...
Well, Gibson didn't know either. I don't think they were really made aware what the movie was, but they made these two guitars for the film. They didn't know any more than that. And they got given one back and they let me have it.
How much did you pay for it?
In my opinion, not enough. I'm pleased with the price. I'll tell you later.
That's great. So what a great story!
Yeah, it was a fun thing. And
now you just need to do a duet with B Coops.
Exactly. When we become best friends in about perfect. 6 weeks' time.
So good. What a great story.
We'll share guitars.
Well, thanks for spending some time with us today, James.
No worries, man.
Always lovely to have you here.
Thank you, man.
James, bye everyone.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of two young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When two of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but two trials that ended in hung juries and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law and Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.